Okay, we're going to start here at the top of the Mishnah over here is now moving on to men's clothing. And the Mishnah says, lo yetzei aish, lo b'saif, not with a sword, v'lo b'keshet, not with a bow, v'lo b'tris, not with a shield, v'lo b'alah. Gemara itself will ask what an alah is. It's either a lance or a club. V'lo b'romach, and not with a spear. V'im yetzah chayav chatat. If he went out with them, he's chayav chatat. These are considered to be a masui. They're not considered to be decorative in any way or a malbush in any way. Rabbi Eliezer disagrees and says, Takshidin hein lo. These are adornments. This is his jewelry. This is the way that a person is dressed up. Weapons are all for the negative. Shenemar. Pasuk says in Yishayahu, it also happens to be a pasuk in Micha as well, with a slightly different language, a couple of the words are slightly different, but the pasuk in Yishayahu says, "V'chitutu charvutam li'itim," that they will beat down their swords to plowshares, "V'chanitotehem l'mazmerot," and their spears they will make into pruners, and there's no vav in the pasuk, "Lo yisa goy el goy cherev," nations will no longer raise swords against each other, and they will no longer learn to do battle or have war. So it's clear that it cannot be decorative, and it cannot be for the positive. If latid lavo, it's going to be eliminated. If it's going to be eliminated, that shows you that it's something that we don't want to persist, something that we don't consider to be positive. Birit, which we bumped into earlier in the perek, is Torah, Yotzim Ba B'Shabbat, and go out with it on Shabbat, Kavalim, Tmeim, V'ein Yotzim Behem B'Shabbat. Again, the Gemara will come back and define both those terms, what a Birit and Kavalim are. So Gemara asks, Mai Be'ala, that was the word that we just saw before in the Mishnah, and the Gemara answer is Kufa. Rashi defines Kufa as something, as a stick or a staff or something. If you look in the Aruch, he says, Perish Dome Le Makel, Vroshe Agul Kamo Kadur. So it's a club of some sort. Better word than a club would be a mace that is used. Others translated as a lance. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Takshitin Ein Lo. Rabbi Eliezer thinks they are adornments, decorative, Malbush, however you want to define it, so that he can go out on Shabbat. Tanya, Amru lo Rabbi Lezer, Michim achar tachshitim hein lo, mipnei ma hein betelim limot HaMashiach. Well, if Yishayahu had nivuah that latid lavo, they're not going to be here, then do you think, Rabbi Lezer, that these are adornments, that these are Malbush? Amru lahen, fish einan tzrichin. It's not an issue of good or bad, it's just not necessary. They won't be necessary, latid lavo. Shenemar. It says, again, we quote from Yishayahu, which is lo yisa goy el goy cherev. Or if you quote from Micha, it's lo yisu goy el goy cherev. Yishayahu says yisa, in Micha it says yisu goy el goy cherev. V'tahave lenoi ba'alma. So if that's the case, let it just be for decorative purposes. Alright, you might be right. So there'll be no war. There'll be no battles anymore. But if these are considered to be positive items, let them still wear them as we'll call it antiquated jewelry, something that was used in the past, adornments of the past, but at least you can still wear it as something that is nice. So Amar Abaye needed to have a shraga batira. It's the equivalent of carrying out a candle during the day. So yes, you can carry out a candle during the day, but it just has no impact. It has no meaning. It's right. That's a pretty good word for it. It's useless. It won't be considered an adornment anymore because nobody uses them. Nobody uses them. They're considered to be excessive. Upligid Shmuel, and this argues on Shmuel. The Amr Shmuel, Ein Bein Olam Hazeh, Limot HaMashiach, Ela Shibud Galiot Bilvad. There's no difference between what we live in now and Limot HaMashiach, except for Shibud Galiot. There will no longer be Galut amongst the nations, no longer be subjugated to them, but we have autonomy. You have an autonomous government, and that you will be able to do the mitzvot without any outside pressure or interference. That's the way Shmuel defines Limot HaMashiach. Tosafot over here says, well, it really can't be Ein Bein. Afagav dahash vein Yerushalayim vein Beit HaMikdash. Today there's no Yerushalayim and Beit HaMikdash. Limot HaMashiach ya kol banui. Everything will be rebuilt. Tzarech lomar daha Ein Bein lav davkot. It's not really nothing. But Shmuel's point is that it will not be like all the fanciful nevuot that you see there. That is not about Limot HaMashiach. Shnemar, his proof is from the pasuk in Devarim. It says, poverty or the poor person will never disappear from the land. So as long as the land is here, there will still be rich and poor, and there will still be people in need. So that shows you that the Limot HaMashiach, not everything is solved. Not everything goes away. Not evil is removed. It's simply the ability to perform mitzvot will be more accessible, it'll be easier, and that's what Yimot HaMashiach is. But, Misayele, the Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba. On the other hand, this is like Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba. Dam Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba, kol Nevi'im lo nidabu al Yimot HaMashiach. That all the Nevi'im, all those Nevuot for the Atid Lavo are about Yimot HaMashiach. Not like Shmuel, rather they are about Yimot HaMashiach. Aval, the Olam Abba, when it comes to Olam Abba, it says, Ayin L'Ra'ata Elukim Zulatecha. No eye has been cast upon it except yours, God. Nobody's seen it. Nobody understands. Nobody knows what the Olam Haba is. And therefore, the Nevi'im only spoke about Yimot HaMashiach, which means everything you find in the Nevuot, including this idea that there'll be no longer any battles or military escapades or wars between nations, that will apply to Yimot HaMashiach. Whereas according to Shmuel, that won't necessarily be true. Viga da Amre, and some have this laid out in this way. Amro lo Rabbi Lezer, mifima achardak tachshit in halo. If they are really adornments, then why do they go away in Yimot HaMashiach? They don't go away. That's exactly like Shmuel. I mean, Rabbi Elezer now is identical to Shmuel. In the first memra, Rabbi Elezer agreed that the weapons would disappear, that war would not happen, but the reason they didn't wear them is because they were useless, they weren't meaningful, there'll be no more wars. That was not like Shmuel. Shmuel says that Latido, everything remains the same. And here it was changing. Now, the way we have Rabbi Elezer formulated is nothing will change. There will be wars. So what are you going to do about the Psukim in Yeshayahu? That's like what we said before, that Shmuel says there's no difference about the Yimot HaMashiach. That's all the Olam Haba. Pliga de Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba. And this argues on Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba, which we saw before. Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba says that all the Nevuot are about Yimot HaMashiach, not about Olam Haba. And therefore, when this pasuk in Yeshayahu that says there'll be no more wars will apply to Yimot HaMashiach, and obviously that would be problematic for this explanation according to Rabbi Eliezer. So now you have here a machloket that's taken up much more in detail in the Gemara and Sanhedrin, but this really forms the basis for the different opinions within the Rishonim. Rishonim really argue about this, and it's not clear. There are a range of opinions about exactly what Yimot HaMashiach and Olam Haba is. But for instance, the Rambam believes that Olam Haba is Olam HaNishamot. It's a place where we are unified. The Nishamot are unified with the Creator. They go back to their Creator. And that is something that has nothing tangible, no physical rewards whatsoever. The Ravid and others disagreed with him. That can't be true. Olam Haba, like for instance here you see, that Shmuel believes that Olam Haba does have some physical manifestation, because he says, Yimot HaMashiach is all about just the lack of Shibud Malchiot. Otherwise everything's the same. That means Olam Haba must have all those things that are in the Nevuot, which include physical rewards and physical benefits in the Olam Haba. The same will be true about Tchiyat HaMetim. Where does Tchiyat HaMetim fit into the picture? Is that the Yimot HaMashiach? Is that the Olam Haba? According to the Rambam, of course, it's not going to be an Olam Haba, because that's Olam HaNishamot. Tchiyat HaMetim would have to take place before that. Others believe that it's the other way around, that Tchiyat HaMetim is after. Some will believe that if Tchiyat HaMetim will be after all is completed, even Yimot HaMashiach Olam Haba, then there'll be a Tchiyat HaMetim. Again, there's a range of opinions within the Rishonim developed based on these opinions here. You can see already there's a machloket in the, between an Amor Shmuel and what we see from Chiya Bar Abba. And then in addition, in Sanhedrin, there are other memrot which might lead you to different conclusions. The Gemara itself is not conclusive, and so too by the Rishonim, you have a range of opinions. You should know that the Rambam's position was controversial at the time, and therefore part of the arguments against the Rambam and some of the sharp criticism of the Rambam came from his opinion about Olam Haba, and whether they burnt the Rambam's books or they put bans on the Rambam's books. Like one of the issues was this particular opinion that he had. The Gemara says, Amr le Abaye le Rav Dimi. Abaye said to Rav Dimi, Amri la, some say it was to Rav Avya. Amri la Rav Yosef le Rav Dimi. Some say it was Rav Yosef speaking to Rav Dimi. Amri la le Rav Avya. It was Rav Yosef to Rav Avya. Amri la Abaye le Rav Yosef. Some say it was Abaye to Rav Yosef. That would make sense. Abaye was a Talmud of Rav Yosef. So they got exchanged here somehow. Their names got mixed up. My time, the Rabbi Lezer, the Mar Tachshitin Heinlo. What's the reason that Rabbi Lezer says that these are decorative in nature? These are adornments, the weapons. Dichtiv, because it says in the Pasuk, here it's really describing Hashem. The Pasuk in Tehillim is describing Hashem. It says, Chogor Harbachal Yarech Pibor. Put your sword, gurge your sword onto the waist of the strong one, of the mighty one. Hodcha vehadarecha. It is with your glory and your majesty. So you see, it's said in a positive way. It's describing Hashem, but it's definitely in a context that is very positive. So I'm there, Rav Kahana, the Marbere, the Rav Huna. Rav Kahana said to the son of Rav Huna, or the Marbere de Ravina, the son of Ravina, Hai b'divrei toraktiv. That is not written about weapons. That's not written about war. That's written about divrei Torah. So he says back to Marmalei, Ein mikra yotzei midei pshuto. That's a nice drasha, but what about the posha pshat and the pasuk? It's nice, that's a great drasha, I agree with you, but you still have to explain to me the pasuk on its level of pashtut. If you read the pasuk, it sounds like these are talking about weapons, and it's said in a positive manner. Amar Rav Kahana, karavino bartam nesari shnin. When I was 18 years old, and I was going over the entire shas, I was learning Torah Shabbat Peh, and I didn't know this idea, the Ein Mikra Yotzei Midei Pshuto Al Hashto. Until this point in time, I had no clue that Ein Mikra Yotzei Midei Pshuto. I mean, that he thought that the drashot that were made on the psukim were the pashtuta psukim. You didn't look at a pasuk in its literal sense. The drashat chazal gave you the perspective on how to read the pasuk, and that became the pashat in the pasuk. But now he's taught, it's not the case in the Mikra Yotzei Midei Pshuto. Correct. It doesn't undermine the drasha, but a pashut shat is still meaningful in this instance. The Rashbam, when he wrote his Perush al Torah, he writes the introduction, part of the introduction to his Perush, but later on, actually, in Parshat Vayeshev, it's coming up this week, if you look in Parshat Vayeshev, the Rashbam gives another introduction to why he wrote his Perush al Torah, and he says he wrote it because of this. He quotes this Gemara right here. He says that all the other Rishonim were carried away by the Drashot Chazal. And therefore nobody did Ein Mikra Yotzei Midei Pshuto. And even his grandfather Rashi, he says, thought he was doing that, but he still relied on Midrashei Chazal. And he says, I spoke to my grandfather, and I told him, and he said, the Rashbam claims, that Rashi would have written another Perush that was really Pshat, and that what he wrote was still Drashot, and the Rashbam sets out to do exactly that, to write a Perush that is Pashut Pshat, the Ein Mikra Yotzei Midei Pshuto, and he quotes our Gemara here, it's part of the introduction, you can see the Rashbam on, I think it's this week's Parsha on Parsha B'Yeshev. It's Mike Mashalon. So what did he teach us? Deligmar Inish V'Hadalizbar. So he taught us that sometimes you need to just go over the material. You need to know the content before you start thinking about it. Here, Rav Kahana didn't know this principle of Ein Mikra Yotzei Midei Pshuto, but that didn't stop him from learning. That didn't stop him from accumulating knowledge. So the accumulation of knowledge, the ability to know Torah Shabbat Peh, should not be hindered by the fact that you don't understand everything and that you don't have all the information. Because once you have it in hand, it can only be enhanced by the understanding. It can only be understood better once you have it in hand. So don't stop and wait and try to figure it out. You should get the contents down pat first, and then afterwards, work on explaining it and understanding it. So, Amar Rabbi Yirmiyahu Amar Rabbi Elazar, Shnei Talmidei Chachamim HaMechadidim Zeh LeZeh BeHalacha. You have two Talmidei Chachamim that sharpen each other in Halacha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Matzliach Lahem. Hashem causes them to succeed. Shneamar, it says, the reason that they're bringing this down is it's a continuation of the Pasuk in Tehillim, Perek Mem Hei. Pasuk Dal that we just quoted before, Chagor Chabachal Yerach Yibor, Hodcha V'Hadarecha, it continues afterwards, Shemar, V'Hadarcha Tzlach, that your glory, your majesty, Tzlach, will cause prosperity, success. Al Tikra V'Hadarcha, don't read it as your majesty, Ela V'Chadadcha, that your sharpness, so that if they sharpen each other, then Tzlach, they will succeed. So if they help each other out, they work together, that will cause success. V'lo'od, elish olim ligdula. They, not only will they be successful, but they will reach positions of power of gdula. Shneamar, the pasuk says, tzlach, should have prosperity, rechav. Now again, they keep cutting off the pasuk. The pasuk continues, it says, v'adarcha tzlach, rechav, al devar emet. You come forth, your majesty should come forth riding with prosperity, with success. Al Dvar Amet, for the cause of truth. But here, the Gemara is breaking down the Pasuk into discrete parts and saying that Tzlach Rechav is that your success should ride high. And that's what it means here, that if they do this, they will not only be successful, but they will also be riding high. Yochol Afilu Shlo Lishma. You would think that this will work even if they don't do it Lishma. They don't learn Lishma, they learn simply to get that Gdula, to get that prosperity, to get that success, of being a gadol, Talmud Omar, al dvar emet, has to be done for the cause of truth. Now, dvar emet means it has to be done lishma. Yochol imigisi dato, you would think if he became haughty, or that changed his character to be someone who is no longer humble, Talmud Omar, ve'anava tzedek. Shadot pasuk, again, it's a continuation of the same pasuk, is for the sake of righteousness, but over here, they're reading the word anva to be anav, to be someone of humility. V'imosim kein zochim le'torah shnitna b'yamin. If you do this, then you'll be zocher to the Torah that was given with the right hand, shne'amar. Because the pasuk continues, it says, v'torcha nora'ot yaminecha. Torcha means that you will teach the wonders of your right hand. But here again, the Gemara is darshaning torcha to mean Torah. That your Torahcha will see the wonders, the awesomeness of God's right hand. V'nachum ba'yitzach amar zochim l'dvarim shne'amru b'yamina shel Torah. There are zocher to things that were said about the right hand of Torah. Damar rava bar shila. What is it meant by the pasuk in Mishlei? Orech yamim dimina, that there will be long life with the right hand. Bismola osher v'chavot, with the left hand there will be wealth and honor. Ella bimina orech yamim ika osher v'chavot lecha. How could it be that the right hand only has length of days, long life, longevity, but does not have osher v'chavot? Longevity is a greater bracha. If you get the greater bracha, you certainly should get the lesser of the brachot. Ella, le miyaminim ba, those that are, here the word miyamin can be used in different ways. The word yamin comes from right, but it also means, and the same thing in English, it means to be dexterous. A righty was looked at as being dexterous because that was the hand that had the ability to be dexterous, was a stronger arm. So over here, the translation of the word miyaminin can be one of those two items. It can either be dexterous of the two, meaning that person who delves into the Torah and looks into it carefully like the right hand is dexterous in Torah, or miyamin ba, Rashi says, could also mean bishma. That the person is osek lishma, orech yamim, ika, they will have longevity of life, v'kol shekein osher v'chavod, and certainly wealth, prosperity, and kavod, and honor. Limas milimba, those that are to the left being sinistar, is the translation into Latin, which is the nevertheless not the dexterous side, means that they don't delve into it in depth, or they do it shelo lishma, one of the two interpretations, then osher v'chavod ika, they get wealth and honor, orechamim leka, but they do not get length of days. And that's what we just said before, that those that are learning Torah lishma will get that which is said about yamin, about the right hand of Torah. I'm Rabbi Yirmiyam, I'm Rabbi Shimon Lakish, shnei tamei chachamim anuchim ze lezeb alacha, who are good to each other. They treat each other properly in alacha. Kodesh Baruch Hu makshiv lehem. Then Hashem listens to them. So if their interactions are pleasant, are adinut, are done with proper manners and a nice tone and some of the nice disposition, then Hashem listens to them. Shenemar, pasuk says, "As nidbiru yirei Hashem." So then we'll talk the yirei Hashem. They leave out the most important parts of the part of the pasuk, which says, "Ish el reyu vayakshev Hashem vayishma," which is that they will speak to each other. Then vayakshev Hashem, Hashem will listen vayishma, and it will be heard. So here, if they speak nidbiru ein dibur el anachat. Speaking is done in a gentle manner. Shenemar. So the puzzle they quote here, which is interesting, is Yad Ber Amim Tachtenu. Ber Amim Tachtenu comes from Tehillim Mem Zayin, which is the Lematzeach that we say before we build the shofar on Rosh Hashanah. And over there it says, Yad Ber Amim Tachtenu, that Hashem will subdue nations under us. So here, the word Yad Ber can either mean to subdue, or also can mean to lead. One of those two. But either way, the Gemara is viewing it as being because of this subduing, means that it's something that is done as a more relaxed nature, even though the idea of subduing is something of a more powerful term, but they're using the term here to be in yadber, means that you result in something that is more subdued. They're playing on the word dibur, but they're here, they're saying the definition, the way it's used in this pasuk is one of something that is more gentle. That gentleness, now they're assigning to the word dibur, and saying that if they speak gently, then we know that Hashem will listen. Mayu l'choshvei shemo. It's a continuation of the pasuk over there. Those that consider his name. Amar Rabbi Ami, afilu chishev lasot mitzvah v'ne'anas. Even a person thought to do a mitzvah and then was stopped because of whatever accident, emergency. Lo asa. Malei alav v'ketuv ki lo asa. The pasuk assigns him the reward as if he did it. Amar Rabbi Chinah Baridi, kol oseh mitzvah kimamara. Im v'vesrin oto b'sorot ro'ot. Anybody who does a mitzvah, like it said, properly, they never give him news or bad news at all. Shenemar, shomer mitzvah, lo yida davara. someone who keeps a mitzvah will know no evil. It's a wonderful pasuk, beautiful pasuk. Those that are performing mitzvot, those that are involved in mitzvot, will not know any bad. The Gemara in Kiddushin says a similar type of idea, which is shluchei mitzvah in nizukin. People who are on their way to do a mitzvah will never be damaged, and even on their way back. Again, this idea that shomer mitzvah lo yedei devara. This also could be the source for the Rambam's position. The Rambam has an unusual position at the Gemara at the end of Makot, which is a Gemara that we quote all the time. Rabbi Hananya ben Akash Shomer Ratzu HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Zakot Et Yisrael, Fika Achir B'lehem Torah Mitzvot. Hashem wanted to give zchut merit to Bnei Yisrael, therefore He gave them lots of mitzvot. So most of them, for Shem, explain it, Kipshuto, which is that you more mitzvot you have, the more chance you have to accumulate merits. The Rambam over there explains that, and says that it means that God gave us so many mitzvot, that there won't be at least one mitzvah that you do kitikuna. There'll be at least one mitzvah that you do properly. You do it lishma, you do it all the covenant, you do it exactly properly. And that's exactly what's said over here. The kol osim mitzvah ki mamara, im resim oto besirot ro'ot. So that idea here, that if you do a mitzvah properly or correctly, that's what we're looking for. And that's what the Rambam says, is that's why we have 613, so at least you get one right. So Amar Abasi, v'itayim Rabbi Chanina, afilo kodesh baruch hu guzer gzerah, hu mivatla. That even Hashem has a decree, it will be nullified, shenemar. Because it says there, it's the previous pasuk too. Shomer mitzvah liyadir devar. It says, "Basher dvar melech shulton." By the word of the king is the authority. Imi yomar lo mataseh. And then who's going to say to him, "What do you do?" So who's going to say that? Well, you know who will? Shomer mitzvah liyadir devar. He'll be the one who does say something to him. Samichlei, and the next pasuk is Shomer mitzvah liyada devar ra. Amar Rabbi Ava, Amar Rabbi Shimon Lakish. Shnei tamid chachamim amakshim zin ze leze balacha, kodesh baruch hu shomei alekolan. Two tamid chachamim that listen to each other in alacha, Hashem hears their voices. Shenemar, because it says, hayoshevet beganim, those that sit in the gardens, chavirim makshivim lekolech, your close ones will listen to your voice. Hashmiini, let me hear it. So the yoshevet beganim here is referring to the batei midrashot, to the tamid chachamim. Chavirim makshivim lekolech means that the Tamid HaChachamim or Chavirim are listening to each other. Then Hashem will say, Hashmiini, let me hear it. Let me hear what you're saying. V'im enosim kein, if they don't do this, gorim l'shkina shemistaleket misrael. Then they cause the shkina to leave. Shnemar, brach dodi, udmei lecha tzvi. It says, brach dodi, go, my loved one ran away, just chased away, udmei lecha tzvi, and you're like a deer that runs away, that speedily leaves. So Amar Rabbi Abba Rav Shimon Lakish, shnei talmidei chachamim, han madgilim, ze leze balacha, two talmidei chachamim. Now here the word madgilim is interesting, it's from the source of the word is degel. So the way Rashi translates it is, mit asfim zed zeh. They gather each other. They help each other out to learn, to make a chavrusa. And since they don't have a rav, since they don't have a teacher, they bring themselves together. They help each other out. They set up. The word dego here means like a banner, to make a banner. Belacha kodesh baruch hu olavan. God loves them. Shneamar b'diglo alai ahava. So here, the pashtut pasuk is that your love will be like a banner to me. Over here, when they're darshaning is diglu, those that come together, have a banner for Torah, right? Alai hava, then I will love them. Amar Ava, v'hu diyade tzurta deshmaito. That's assuming that they have at least some basic knowledge. They can't learn together if they have no basic knowledge. They can't create something from nothing. They at least have to have some basics. V'hu delet lu rabo b'mato l'migmarinei. And that's assuming they don't have a Rebbe in the city to teach them. If they have a Rebbe in the city to teach them, they should be going to the Rebbe. But the fact is, if they don't, they should at least together try to work it out and learn as much as possible. V'amar Rabbi Ava, Amar Rabbi Shimon Lakish. This is reminiscent of Brachot. Here we had a statement from Rabbi Ava, Amar Rabbi Shimon Lakish. Now the Gemara is going to bring down a number of memrot, gadik, memrot of this pair, which is Amar Rabbi Ava, Amar Rabbi Shimon Lakish. Gadol hamalve yoter min oseh tzedaka. Greater is the one who lends than the one who does tzedaka, does charity. Umetil bekis yoter min kulan. And someone who provides a business partnership is greater than them all. So here you have the hierarchy of the best ways to give tzedakah. And the lowest one is to actually give money to the poor person. The next level up is to lend money to the individual, put them back on their feet, but they're not embarrassed by that because it looks like it's a loan, looks like it's something that is not tzedakah. And then the best one is to bring them into a partnership, to bring them into the business, give them the opportunity to make money in a partnership with you. V'am Rabbi Yav, Am Rabbi Shimon Lakish, Im Tamir Chacham Nukim V'Noter K'Nachash. V'Tamir Chacham is vengeful, spiteful, like a snake, who Chagrinu Amatnecha. Wrap him around, gird him onto your loins. Im Amaretz, Hu Chasid. But if he's an Amaretz, but he's delicate and gentle, Al Tidor B'Shkunato. Don't live in his neighborhood. So better to be with a Talmid Chacham who's knowledgeable, even though maybe his midot are not 100%, because at least you'll get the proper perspective, the proper knowledge of Torah. But if you live with an Am Haaretz, even though he's a chassid, he's gentle, he's delicate, he has all the midot, nevertheless you're never going to get the proper perspective of the Torah. So he will not be able to act in the full accordance of the Torah, and therefore you'll be misled. So don't live there. This is different than other Gemaras. The Gemara, for instance, says that one should only have a Rebbe and learn Torah for someone who is Gemal HaShem Tzvakot, that it's like the angel of God. So there is a necessity or a need for the Rebbe to also have Midot, and that's not enough just to have Torah. Having Midot as well is something that is paramount or important. So you could relegate this, the Nokem V'Noter K'Nachash, could not be within Divrei Torah, that he's Chared Al Dvar HaShem, not that he has poor Midot or bad character traits. Amar Rav Gan, Amar Rav Shimon Lakish, V'amila, Amar Rav Asi, Amar Rav Shimon Lakish, V'amila, Amar Rav Abba, Amar Rav Shimon Lakish, the same pair that we saw before. Kol HaMegadel, Kelev Ra B'toch Beito, anybody who brings up a bad dog in his house, Moneah Chesed Mitoch Beito, removes the ability to do Chesed from his house, Shenemar, because the Pasuk says, Lamas, to one who is afflicted, Mirei Eyu Chesed, from his friends he should receive goodness. And that's the Pashtut of Pasuk, is that someone's afflicted, having difficulty, his friends should step in and help him out. The Gemara now says about that Lashon of Lamas, Shekein B'Lashon Yivanit, in Greek, Korin LeKelev Lamas, or Lamus. So the Greek word for Kelev is here, and the Gemara is saying that a Kelev, and as Rashi points out, the Mem in front of Mereel means removes. So therefore it says Lamas, the dog removes from his friend's chesed. Why is it removed from his friend's chesed? So he says, if you have a dog there, the aniyim will be afraid to come into your house. They'll be afraid to enter the gate. The dog will scare them away. And nobody will be coming knocking on the door looking for its tzedakah. So a person has a dog, a bad dog, who scares away. The aniyim will be then removed from chesed from his house. He won't be able to perform chesed because nobody will come there. Nachman Yitzchak Amar, Af Porek Mimenu Yirat Shamayim. Not only does it ruin his chances for chesed, it also, for the individual himself who owns the dog, it ruins his Yirat Shamayim, Shneamar. It's a continuation of the pasuk, is Virat Shekai Yazov. Fear of God, he will leave. It's interesting because maybe a person who has the dog starts to rely on the dog for his protection rather than God for his protection. He thinks it's in the hands of the dog and not Hashem. Maybe that's what they're after here, not just the continuation of the pasuk, but that the Yirat Shemayim, the individual, is lost. Or could be because of the lack of performance of Chesed, he also loses his Yirat Shemayim. How itita the Ailo Lahu Beita the Meifa? This woman who was poor, she didn't have an oven to bake in. She came into this house, either she rented it or they lent it to her to go into the house to bake. Navach ba'kalba, a dog came, barked at her, scared her, it'akar vlada. She had a baby in utero, she had a fetus, and the fetus shifted because of the scare, the fright she got from the dog barking. Amar la mari debeta, the owner of the house says, lo tidchali, don't worry about it, the shakili nibe, his teeth are taken out. Shakili le tufre, and his nails are taken out also. She said, back to him, Shkula tibutech, v'shadya chizre. Says, take your goodness and throw it out. Take it back, for not vlad. The damage is already done. I didn't know that when the dog barked, so I was already afraid, and that caused the fetus to shift, or the fetus to move out of place. And now that you're telling me this and calming me down, it's too late. The damage was already done. Am Ravuna, my dichtiv. What is meant by the pasuk in Qelet? Smach bachur b'yaldutecha. You should enjoy your youth. V'tivcha libcha b'meibderutecha. And your heart should make things good for you in your youthful days. Valech b'tarchei libcha. And follow the ways of your heart to marei enecha. And you should go what you see fit. The marei in the pasuk spelled with a yud, not a hey. You can do all of that, but no, in the end, God will bring you to judgment on that. The pasuk is sort of encouraging you to act on your own volition, do what you will, do as you please, but it says, don't forget that there will be a day of judgment. There will be a day where you have to pay for it. So now the Gemara says, Ad kan divrei yitzhara, until the point in the pasuk which says, Da, that's the yitzhara speaking. Divrei Yetzer HaTov. From that point onwards, the Yetzer HaTov speaking. That's the argument. The argument between them is the Yetzer HaTov says, you can do what you want, do as you please. The Yetzer HaTov says, listen, you can do as you please, but you're going to have to pay for it one day. Rish Lakish Amar Ad Kan LeDivrei Torah. Until that point is Divrei Torah. You should learn as you please. You should delve into Torah as you please. Mikan Ve'elech LeMasim Tovim. From after that is they're dealing with Masim Tovim, the way Rashi says it. Tak Yikol Ela Kol Mashalamata Sofchali Tenet Adinim Go Tekayim. You can learn as you please. But when it comes to acting, when it comes to doing, you have to follow what you learn. You have to put into practice what you learn. So the first half of the pasuk is, do as you please, learn as you please. But you will be held accountable for doing the masim, the halacha. That could be one way to read it. The other way to read it is about Torah, umasim tovim, which is you can learn as much as you want, but God will still hold you accountable for masim tovim, doing chesed. You can't just learn and forget about doing chesed. You also have to do chesed. So you can learn as you please, as much as you please, as much as you want, but don't forget to also do Torah im chesed. Right now the Gemara goes back and explains what's this birit Torah. Am Rav Yehuda, birit zu etzada. This birit is a bracelet. Birit Torah, yotzeba b'shabbat. What do you mean? How could even call it a birit Torah and go out with it on Shabbat if it's an etzada? V'ilu etzada t'meyahi. We know that a bracelet is t'meyah. Rashi says, how do we know that it's Tameah? Because it's mentioned by the items that were brought back by Midian. V'tiv v'maseh Midian etzadah v'tzamid. V'tiv techatao atem u'shvichem. It says, all that you brought back, you have to purify. So you see that the etzadah, you see that the bracelet was Tameh. Tosafot says, I don't think that's the right pshat over here. Because if that's the case, that's not true of all the items that were brought back. Part of what was brought back of the booty there was animals. And the animals don't require Tahara. So that can't be the explanation. What that pasuk is talking about, what was brought back. The pasuk that says what you have to be mitahir is a separate pasuk. So Tosafot says he thinks it's because of the juxtaposition of psukim that says, the pasuk says, it's a David Samid, and it's afterwards it says, Vayikach kol kli ma'aseh. So what is the kli ma'aseh that it's referring to? It's talking about all the kelim that can be carried or taken, and etzadah is included in that. And then later on, the Gemara is going to learn from Sheretz that that kli is tameh. So that's how the Gemara, Tosafot has a little more involved type of limud of how to get it, that it's a das tmeah. Rashi just says that it's because it's included in the booty of Midian. So the Gemara says, no, hachikam, that's what he meant. Birin tachad etzadah, omedet. That the birit is in place of a bracelet. The way that a bracelet is to the arm, the birit is to the leg. That's what we said before. It's a bracelet that goes around the leg that holds up the stockings. Yati ravin v'ravuna kameh d'rav Yirmiyah, v'yati rav Yirmiyah v'kam in amnim. Rav Yirmiyah was dozing off. And he said, birit ba'achat kevalim b'shtayim. A birit is a bracelet on one leg, and that holds up that stocking. Kevalim are on two legs. She has a bracelet on each of her legs to hold up her stockings. Amalei Ravuna, elu ve'elu b'shtayim. No, they're both on both legs. Umtilin shel sheled b'nehem. And then you put a chain between them. That's the difference between them. Kavalim comes from cable. So that's what it means. They're both of them on both legs, except the difference is that Birit is on both legs without the chain between them, and the Kavalim have the chain between them. Amarle Ravuna, Vishoshele Shabel Meshavile Mono? Just because there's a chain between them, that makes them into a mono? V'chite emak Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmani, if you say it's like Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmani, we bumped into earlier, back on Nunchet, Amar Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmani, Amar Rabbi Yonkanan. How do we know that if something is functional, that it makes this noise, that for its kamesh? So we learned back then what kol davar was a play on the word dibur, and afilu dibur b'mashma, even something that makes noise will become tamei. Over there, that was by the bell, they needed it to make a noise. But over here, v'kavim maser, oh, my maser kavim. Over here, what utility, what use does this chain have? Achanami kavim maser. Also over here, it has use or utility. Tamar Rabbi Barchana, Rabbi Yochanan, mishpachat achat hayta b'Yerushalayim. There was this family in Yerushalayim, shehupsiotem gasot, that they used to walk. Their steps, their stride was very wide. V'yupetulotem no shrot. Because of that, their women lost their tulot, their dam betulot. Asalem kivalim. They made for them these chains. They put on these bracelets on both legs and then put a chain between them to restrict their stride. Then wouldn't lose their dam betulot. Rabbi Yirmiyah woke up from his nap, from dozing off. That you did what you're saying is right. That is exactly what Rabbi Yochanan said. So now let's go back a second for this, understand what's happening here. We have a problem in the Mishnah. The Mishnah says that, number one, birit is tehora, and you can wear it out on Shabbat. A kavalim is tmeah, and it cannot be worn out on Shabbat. So then the Gemara at first thought it was one, that the birit was on one leg, and the kavalim were on two legs. So Rashi over there says, well, the reason that in that case it would be tehora is because it's a kli l'kli. Because a kli l'kli means that it's only functions to help another kli. The only purpose of this bracelet is to hold up the stockings. So that's not mekabel tuma. And then, why is it okay to go out on Shabbat? Because in order for it to remove them, she would have to raise her skirt. Then, we come to the second explanation, which is, no, they're on both legs. Since they're on both legs, now what's the difference? So Rashi claims that the reason that when you have two of them on, you can go out on Shabbat is because in order for it to remove them, she would have to raise her skirt. And that would be that's a nuah, and therefore she would never show them off in public because she would not raise her skirt to make them visible or to release them, and she wouldn't take them off and shoot their beam. But why is the kabbalim, why are they tmeim, and why are they problematic on Shabbat? It's because of the shoshot, the chain. Rashi claims you could get the chain off without exposing herself. The chain she would show off, and the chain itself, since it has purpose, since it's a kli maaseh, it's not servicing another kli, it's servicing the individual by shortening the stride, therefore it's also mikabel tumah. That's Rashi's explanation of it. Tosafot, on the other hand, disagrees. He says that doesn't make sense. I don't understand how you can't take off the chain without it being visible, but you can't take off the bracelets themselves without being visible. So he says, Achen Yerli Deshali Tan Below Gilu Shekayim. He says that you can take them off without revealing your thighs. That's even the bracelets themselves. Aval Birit Shehi Bachat Lo Shalva Mechavya Din Zeh Tachshit. You would not take off one because that is not an adornment of jewelry. The Kevin Shain Laila Bachad Gnaihilo. It's not something that she would want to show off. Since it's something she doesn't want to show off, therefore she would not take it off. It's nothing to do with revealing herself, she just wouldn't take it off. But when there are two of them, then she would want to show it off because then it becomes adornment, then it becomes jewelry. Kiata Rav Dimi, I'm Rav Yochanan. When Rav Dimi came, he said the name of Rav Yochanan, Minayin Larig Koshu Shutame. How do I know that something is woven, that even the smallest amount can be mekabel tuma? Mitzitz, from the tzitz. So I'm like, why? Tzitz ariku? What about the tzitz? The tzitz is not woven. V'tanya tzitz kimin tas shel zahav. It was a flat piece of metal, of gold. The rochav shtei etzbeot, it was two etzbeot wide. And we called me ozen leozen, and went from ear to ear. The ketuv alav bebet shittim, it's written on two lines. Yud ke, which is the shem Hashem lemala. V'kodesh le lemato. And kodesh le, below it. So that on the top line, because you want the Shem Hashem to be up top, so it says Yud Kei on the upper row, and then below it says Kodesh Le. The other side says it says Kodesh on the bottom line, and it says Le Hashem Le Yud Kei on the upper line. That's the way that it looked in order to have the Shem Hashem above. The Rabbeinu Tam claims that the Kodesh Le was justified to the right side, and Hashem was justified to the left side. So therefore, you would read it as a single sentence, even though they were offset. That Le Hashem or the Hashem was above and Kodesh was below, it still would look normal to read it from right to left in that way. So they were split up, that the Kodesh Hashem was on the right side, and Le Hashem was on the left side. From Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yossi, this is a famous story that we saw back in Me'ilah, when he goes to Rabbi Shimba Yochai to get the Zerah, the decree nullified. It says, Ani Riti Via Romi. He went into the storehouses of the king of Rome, and I saw there the tzitz, v'katuv Kodesh Lashem b'shita achat. It was written in one line, it wasn't written on two lines, it was written straight across on one line. Kisalak Rav Dimi and Narada, when Rav Dimi went up to Narada, Sholach Luhu, he sent back to them, Dvarim Shemarti Lechem Tohutim Bi'adi. That which I said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan is obviously a mistake, because the tzitz is not woven. Baram Kach Amru Mishum Rabbi Yochanan. This is what they said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. Minayin Latashrit Kosho Shutame. How do I know that an adornment, a piece of jewelry, any size, is Tame? Mitzitz, from the tzitz. Uminayin larig, koshu, shuhu, tameh. How do I know that something's woven that's a koshu is tameh? Mi obeged. It's written by sheretz, obeged. And the rivoy of o comes to teach you not just a beged, but even o, any size beged. Now this is problematic for a number of reasons. We'll see in a second. Tan Rabbanan. Arig koshu tameh, v'tachshit koshu tameh. Arig v'tachshit koshu tameh. So arig by itself, any amount is tameh. Tachshit by itself is any amount is tameh. Now, if you have a woven something that is also with an adornment, koshu tame. It's also koshu tame. Now obviously that's a problem, because how could it be that if any amount is tame, then how could you be combining the two items to get to any amount? Any amount means even the smallest amount. So then why would the combination have to do anything? So from here, Tosfot says, Mikan mashma de makom makom bein shiur ktat. It has to be some minimum shiur. We don't know what it is, but it can't be nothing. It can't be that minimum of just the drop, because the fact that you have to put the ariga and the takshit together to get to the koshu shows you that there is at least some minimum shiur. The musaf sak ala beged, the sak, which is a type of material on the beged which is woven, shetamei mishum arig. I won't define that now. That's tomorrow's Gemara. The Gemara will come back and define what that statement means. Amar Rava, arig koshu tamei mi o beged. How do I know that a woven material is tamei? Because any amount of woven material is mi o beged, from that riboy by sheretz. Takshit koshu tamei mi tzitz. I know that from the tzitz. Arig vit takshit koshu tamei. How do I know the combination of the two of them is tamei is mikol kli maaseh. That is written by Midyan. It says over there, you have to be mitaher, mikol kli maaseh. Any kli maaseh, anything that is functional, anything that is jewelry, that is tamei. Now the Gemara explains that. That's written by Midyan. So why can you extrapolate from that? Rashi says what the question is here is, Midyan was talking about tamei meit. And you want to extrapolate this to sheretz? You can't learn from tamei meit to sheretz. That's not a proper limud. So he says, Amalei, gomar kli kli mihatam. There's a gzereshava of kli that's written there and kli that's written by sheretz. And therefore it's a gzereshava that you don't have to argue. There's no logical argument that comes to undermine it. That's the way Rashi learns it. Tosafot, on the other hand, disagrees and says, that's written by Shlal Midyan. That's written by the booty of Midyan, nothing to do with Tuman Tahara. That's the question of the Gemara. And then the Gemara says, oh no, no, Kli Kli. We're going to learn a Gzereshava Kli Kli to teach you that this Kli that's in the Shlal of Midyan and the booty of Midyan also has a din of Tuma. So they're imposing the din of Tuma on the Shlal as well because of Gzereshava Kli Kli. Not because of Tumat Meit, which is Tumat Sheretz, but rather because of the fact that since the word kli is used there, then we have Gzer Sheva Kli Kli to teach us that that kli also means tamei. The one other problem with this Gemara is Obeged. Obeged over here, we said, comes to Mirabah Koshu. Early on in the Masechta, if you remember, we said that Obeged came to teach you that a Beged can be tamei even by Shalosh Etzbaot. Beged meant Shlosha Tzvachim, 3x3 Tzvachim. Came to include Shlosha Etzbaot. So how could it be here? Oh, comes to include a koshu. Over there we said it was only enough to include 3x3 etzbaot. So Tosafot answers and says, well, there's two different ways to get to a beged. You start with a large beged, and then it's worn down or withered down until it's 3x3, then the old beged only comes to include 3x3 etzbaot. So when it's a derivative of a larger beged, 3x3 etzbaot is the minimum shiur. On the other hand, if you start from nothing and you make a beged that's kosher and it's functional like that, then the old beged will come be merabe, even a kosher, even the smallest amount. Okay, we'll stop over here.